Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, here on a beautiful fall day, brought to you by...
The show is brought to you by AmericasCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, and Denver Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. You just made your appointment for the annual physical. She's great. And any questions, any concerns, if you're not feeling as energetic, you know, just Denver Cenogenics, Dr. Julie McCallan. So lot to talk about, as always today at 3:30, we're going to have Ron Hanks on, Representative Ron Hanks, great grassroots leader. He announced his candidacy for U.S. Senate today.
It's really going to shake it up.
Oh, liberal heads are already exploding.
They can't take it. No,
they can't take it. They can't help. It's like, no, they're freaking. We'll play you his campaign ad and you'll see why they're freaking. We love it though. I just don't give you that. And we wanted to open up though and with Karen Cataline from she's got her own show, Karen Cataline's Spouting Off. You can get everything Karen Cataline at KarenCataline.com.
Not everything.
Well, almost everything. Hey, Karen, thank you for joining us today.
Well, hi, both of you. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things I wanted to start off, I mean, a lot of topics today. I mean, anymore, it's like, where do you pick? But I wanted to talk about a story that's kind of circulating locally. CU Health Center has decided that some people are more deserving to
more
live.
More equal than others.
More equal than others.
God, you read my mind. That's just what I was going to say. And some diseases are more equal than others, too.
Exactly. And before we play the soundbite, so folks know, rather than me explain it, what they're talking about, it's being reported by local media, picked up by national media. But Thomas, if we could play the transplant video, please.
This is the letter State Representative Tim Geithner of House District 19 says a woman in El Paso County received from UC Health. In it, the hospital system warns the woman she's being placed as inactive on the kidney transplant list. The reason? Non-compliance because she won't get the vaccine.
I feel coerced. I feel like my life is being held in their hands in exchange for a shot. And, you know, the attitude is just take the shot.
The letter, printed on September 28th, is giving Leilani Lutalli 30 days to either start the vaccination series or her name will be removed from the list and she won't be able to get a kidney.
The understanding is basically conform to this demand, take this COVID vaccine, or otherwise you will be denied a life-saving procedure.
Leilani says her friend is showing early potential she could be a match, but both of them are opposed to getting the vaccine. In a statement to Denver 7, UC Health explains why it won't allow them to move forward. The hospital system says, quote, in almost all situations, transplant recipients and living donors at UC Health are now required to be vaccinated against COVID-19 in addition to meeting other health requirements and receiving additional vaccinations.
I mean, it's just outrageous. I know a little bit of something about getting on transplant lists. And if you're on the transplant list, that means it is very much a life-saving procedure.
Yeah, you don't get there unless it's...
Right, unless it's extremely serious. Karen, your take on that. You've been warning about this from the beginning.
It's outrageous. I've run out of adjectives. I made a few notes. Remember when Sarah Palin said there would be death panels and people laughed at her and said she was a radical and an extremist? No such animal. But this is the thing that I think is most profound. The greatest atrocities in history have taken place because of a normalizing of the disrespect for life and for liberty. And they're trying to do precisely that. They're trying to make it seem like this is reasonable and normal for them to lord it over this poor woman's head and to claim even more insult to injury that it's for her own good.
Exactly.
As I wrote in my latest article, she's being forced to pretend that this is all for her own good when it's really greatly to her detriment. but it also is being used to as an example for the rest of us,
right,
that you'd better not think for yourself or say no to anything we want you to do, no matter how stupid, ridiculous it is. And few people understand how deadly these ideas are. And that's what they're trying to create for all of us.
And let's go ahead and bring up Michael Tao's famous point, and that is, this is not, for 99.9% of the people, a fatal virus. So at this, and this is a virus, as Jared Polis had a news conference today in Colorado, some 77% of the people have been vaccinated. Now you throw in all the other people who have natural immunity for a virus that is 99.9% survivable. It's ridiculous. And yet they're willing to tell her, hey, I mean, it's one thing if they're like, okay, look, your insurance isn't going to cover it, but they're saying, nope, you don't get the vaccine, then you get to die.
Basically,
literally.
Yeah. And we're going to kill you. We're going to let you die because we're worried about your health.
Yeah. Right? Because we really care about you.
I mean, that's like fighting for peace.
Yeah.
That's like, as peace, somebody, forgive me, once said, screwing for chastity. Preposterous. And yet when we argue the point and not the motive, and of course people think we're crazy when we argue the motive, then we're missing the boat, because most of the people themselves who are imposing this on us know it's a lie. Watch James O'Keefe and his constant exposure of the fact that even the people who are doing this to us, they're being bullied too, for everybody to shut up. We don't care if you believe us as long as you go along. That's mob tactics, right?
Well, we saw today too, that there was a big meeting between the White House administration and Fauci, and then a bunch of health officials with the FDA and other people who are like, once again, we're telling you, we're begging you, please don't do this booster shot. And Fauci says, nope, we're going to do it. So they don't even pretend anymore to be following the science. It is, as you have said, it's become a religious cult. And if
a death cult.
It
is a death cult. It is saying some people we ought to let die. Look at the leftists who say that people who did not take the jab don't deserve medical treatment at all, even though they're ignoring the fact, and they always do, that the number of people who got COVID, who've been fully vaccinated, they're ignoring that. They're censoring and suppressing information. Basically, they're telling us we have to go along with a complete alternate universe, and they don't care if we believe it as long as we don't stop them.
Right. Well, and it's, as you said, it's all about power. And I think there's probably money involved too. These pharmaceutical companies are making
money. $1,000 a jab, they get paid.
Yeah, but remember, the money is only being used for the power, and even the power, if we stop with power, forgive me, I always interrupt you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No,
if we stop with the hunger for power, we miss why they want the power. It isn't just, oh, they're power hungry and they want, no, it isn't that disorganized.
Right.
We know there's something called the Great Reset. We know there's Klaus Schwab. We know that America stands in the way of global fascism, global communism. The only thing left is America standing in their way. So when they have total control, they'll get to decide who lives and who dies. And guess what? Trump supporters, Christians, Jews, white people, anybody who thinks for themselves, they're on the front lines of being replaced.
Well, the one thing that, you know, there's always a correlation between money and power. If money and power are separated, they soon come together. If you have power but no money, you'll make sure you get money. And if you have money and no power, you'll get power. So they two merge pretty quickly. And when they come separated, that's when civil wars and everything else occur.
Well, and that's why I think this is just part of it, but you're seeing the F Joe Biden chant spontaneously breaking out. Whereas
love those, don't we?
Oh, well, because
A bunch of conservatives and good and decent people saying, well, if the left can do that, so can we.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, it won't be too long before all of a sudden that's probably domestic terrorism, right?
I'm sure.
So they're going to be bringing in buses to stadiums to arrest a bunch of college kids for saying that. That leads me to another topic. Speaking of power and money, there's so many things. I want to get your thoughts on this. So it came out today that AG Garland, as you know, has said that he wants the FBI and the Department of Justice to go after, as domestic terrorists, parents who question their school board and have complaints about the critical race theory. Well, lo and behold, turns out his son-in-law is the co-founder of a huge educational company that provides resources and makes millions and millions of dollars giving critical race theory resources to schools. So you got to say to yourself, so wait a minute. So Garland says, hey, these parents are complaining about this thing that my son-in-law makes money off of. Well, let's just have the FBI investigate them then.
Well, it's an utter shame this guy didn't get to become a Supreme Court justice over the Republicans. I mean, what a great man.
The ones we got aren't all that great. I'm not impressed with any of the ones the left lost their cookies over. They're horrible. They're co-opted. They're swino judges, as far as I'm concerned.
Swino judges.
But except for Alito and Clarence Thomas, they're pretty worthless. But look at the message. Look at the message. Words and ideas are dangerous. That's what they're saying. Right. Now, terrorism is not dangerous, especially if it's being done by somebody we like,
right?
And they are damaging and bullying and intimidating people we don't like,
right?
But words are somehow dangerous. This is the kind of doublespeak that is we're being asked to believe 2 and 2 is 12.
Right. Well, and I'm gonna take a shot, and I like George Brocker, but it's shot at George Brocker. I just read before we came on the show, he was retweeting the story about Garland essentially weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after parents. And George said, well, the local crime should be prosecuted by local people, not the feds. George, why is
protesting critical race theory a local crime?
Well, I mean, it's like if that's your worst problem with what the Department of Justice is doing, George, we need to take you back to like.
Well, I'm sorry, George Brockler has lost his cookies too.
Yeah.
And if
he had other better tweets, but I'm like, that was an incredibly lame.
That's outrageous.
Well, in a debate with Randy. In a debate with Randy Corcoran, he said, talking about 108, no, it's unconstitutional. I'm not too concerned about the constitutionality of a law. You know, well, that's interesting from someone who is sworn as an AG to or a DA to uphold the Constitution. You don't care?
Well,
and Sarah, he doesn't care either, I guess.
And it goes to, and I don't mean to just pick on George, but it goes Republicans and
everybody.
You have to, because you can't let that mealy mouth go by. It's like, no, George, it's not about that we should have the local police arrest parents for complaining about critical race theory. No, that's not the point. The point is, these are parents who have every right to go to their elected school
board. To petition their government.
Right. And to do so, if it gets unruly, don't run for freaking student.
I'm gobsmacked at the number of people, even conservatives, who've defended the jab, for example, who think you can somehow extricate a giant, complete fabrication and decide that a portion of it is something you ought to believe. I believe a lot of the people who have sold our country out, they did it for money and power and position. And they are foolishly thinking that the overtaking of this country will somehow not touch them.
Right.
And that is among the most foolish things ever. And when you see people sell out, I don't care if it's George Brockler or Mitch McConnell or people who are helping the sellout, like Ted Trimpa, you have to call it out.
Don't attack our friend Ted.
No, but you must attack Ted.
Because,
and you did a wonderful job last time. No, I mean, you can, you know, if they're your friend, you can do it nicely, but you have to ask them, how is it that you are helping and contribute to something that could destroy all of us? It's like taking target practice on the Titanic.
Well, and again, exactly. And this is the same Department of Justice that made up and was involved in the making up of the whole Russia hoax to overthrow Trump. These are the same group of people up there who are, you know, advising Biden on the debacle in Afghanistan. I mean, it's they've gone crazy there. I mean, who would have thought that when, you know, like a year ago at this time, that if you were a parent and you went to a school board and you were complaining about some kind of policy that the attorney, the U.S. attorney's son-in-law was making a ton of money out, that he was going to send the FBI after you. You'd be like, no, but there's
a the public stuff. And it's so brazenly in your face.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I got a question about? I'm being a talk show host here, and I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
And it's the toughest question we could ask because it's what all of us are thinking. And I'd love to ask both of you, what, if anything, do you think can turn this around? Because week after week after week, we complain, we whine. I hear myself repeat myself over and over. I get bored hearing myself talk because it's all the same stuff. And it is validation after validation that the people who are currently in power hate our guts and want to get rid of us. When you sell our weapons to our enemies and bring them here so they can hurt us, I'm thinking they don't have our best interests at heart. So at that point, when you decide that our government is has it in for us, what do you think, if anything, can turn this around?
Well, I'll go to that first. I mean, the one encouraging part is that the whole Biden administration is collapsing. I mean, they're collapsing in Congress. They're collapsing in their ratings. They're down to 40% in a Quinnipiac poll. The Republicans are ahead in a generic poll, which in one generic poll, which they never are. There are people in stadiums and buses and all across the country yelling, F Joe Biden. And that's just not a...
And the horse he rode in on.
And the horse he rode in on. So on a national scale, I guess I'm encouraged very much. I mean, and I'm encouraged by Trump. It's going to be endorsing people. So we just, if Republicans do have a wave, it won't be a wave of Mitch McConnell. It won't be a wave of our famous Utah governor, Mitt Romney. It is going to be a wave of people who really will fight back against this. So I think
these nationally people need to be in jail. If Chuck is encouraged, that made my day.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, to answer your question, how will we turn it around? It's like, we are the ones who have to do it. I think that I know what you mean. Sometimes they're like, oh no, we're talking about yet another lie. It's like, but you have to keep calling them out. You have to keep pointing it out. And I think because, you know, we say it every day, but you never know who like hears you. And maybe that's the first time they heard that and they go, huh. You know, I mean, we played a soundbite the other day from that
Russell Brand,
a liberal comedian.
And again, what do you mean Russellgate? Russellgate was just all a fraud?
He's like,
very end, he's saying, you know, maybe they're using these things like equity and equality.
If they lied to you about that.
Maybe it's just so they have power. You go,
Kristen Sinema finds out what it's like to disagree with her own party. She gets followed into the bathroom with a video camera.
Karen, that's just part of the process.
Except when it happens to them.
It makes converts of these people. I'll tell you what. We may disagree with Joe Manchin, but I'll tell you what. He's tougher and more principled in what he stands for than probably 3/4 of the Republicans.
And here's something else from Charlene. This is some common sense. She says, number one, get out of debt. Number two, develop a skill you can barter. Develop a support community of like-minded people and do not get on any trains. So
sounds like prostitution.
Move to Texas and support Texas in seceding from the union.
Yeah, I think there's
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, no, but in the end, I think there is reason to be hope. I think I would be enormously depressed if that Biden still remained popular. And now you see people like, and again, gas prices highest they've been in 7 years. I mean, everything economic is, they're warning us. I saw a thing today from a children's clothing store thing that I get emails from, right? That said, hey, you better order your Christmas stuff now because we don't have much and what we have is going to go fast. I mean, the supply, the supply chains are destroyed. All of this, and it's like people are looking at Joe Biden, and maybe they agree with him on COVID, but they don't. There's so many other things they don't.
It's not even agree with COVID anymore.
Right? No, they don't even agree with that. You're right.
There's nothing there.
Construction is what they are engaged in, and I'm quite convinced that now it's understandable why they installed a presidential potted plant. That's what I call Biden. Not only a plant, but a potted plant, because now everybody can blame all the horrible ugliness on Biden and all the other people who brung him to the dance, dragged him to the dance, are hidden, and nobody knows who they are.
Well, but we all know Obama, Rice. You know, they don't fool too much. I'm not sure that Schumer and Pelosi are going, oh, they seem so nice, though. I mean, Joe's bad, but boy, those are two really nice. Well, and AOC, oh my gosh, that's a fresh affair there. That little lassie.
Although she's getting primaried by another bartender. Well, you know, and here's the thing too, that all of these people on the left completely misunderstand, and that is that it's not really Trump that everyone's following. It's Trump's ideas, Trump's policies, Trump's populism, Trump's willingness to stand up and fight back. All of that is what actually really matters.
Boundaries, traditional values.
And when they keep pushing Trump, they don't seem to get that it's his ideas that people really are going after.
That's what terrifies him, I promise you.
You think?
Of course it does.
And it validates for people why they went after him in the first place.
Right.
Because he represented everything that they, not only did they not want him to be in power to institute America First policies, they didn't want anybody to know how quickly America First policies could
work.
Help America recover. Right. Exactly.
And how fast, by getting rid of them, they can help the
that they can fall
go bad. Down. I mean, understand deep down it's us they hate. It's not Trump. But they don't want to say, we hate you. You know, that's what Hillary did with a basket full of deplorables. That's not a good election technique, saying we hate you voters. You say, no, we hate Trump, and therefore, you know, we understand that you've been misled and you're dumb and you're just a cultist following an insane leader. So it's amazing to watch.
Don't you think it's amazing the people, both Republican and conservative, who've been exposed throughout this, who we thought were your basic liberty-loving conservative, and yet they've been exposed as people who, well, like a Brockler, but a lot more.
Right.
A lot of people who have remained quiet, who've wanted to stay in the shadows, who didn't want to stand up, or who sold out so easily. They sold out for a cup of coffee. I mean, they didn't sell out for anything.
And it's really. What are you going to get, right? The time, and then you've said this more in your columns and on your show, the time is now. You have to stand up. And I was saying this the other day, we were at our women's meeting, and the women were kind of being nice, and I just was like, guys, this is war, right? This is war. They know it's war, and we're trying to pretend, I really wish I could talk to my neighbor about politics. It's like, no.
No. Down. No,
this is not your normal time.
Right.
We're not living in normal times. And that's hard, especially for a lot of my conservative Christian friends who are just too damn nice.
Right. Well, this is from Charlene. The hits keep coming. What will be the last straw? Hospital refusing to treat the unclean.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing. This refusing kidney transplant. I mean, what's the next thing they're going to do? And again, keep in mind, for a virus, for a flu, right? I mean, the woman probably had said earlier that she was kind of concerned about getting the vaccine because she has no immune system, right?
That's exactly right.
If she were to go to her doctor in normal time and say, hey, I'm thinking about taking this totally experimental, untested, it's only been out for a few months now, drug. You're hoping that it's going to cure me. What do you think about that? They would say, you're nuts. You just got on the transplant list. Are you going to throw it all away?
Yeah.
And now, and the thing is you got to question the medical industry behind it. Because again, my theory in all of this is they don't want a control group. That's why they are pushing so hard for all of us to get vaccinated, because they don't want anyone to be able to compare how the people who didn't get vaccinated are doing and how the people who got vaccinated are doing.
I hope that that's all it is, because I don't think it is. I think to go to the mattresses on this lie of a virus, and we saw the lie early on. That's when I knew. I mean, that's when it was clear to me the lie was going to survive no matter what the facts were. And that started happening in March of 2020. They wanted to make sure that they perpetuated the lie regardless of the situation. And to go to the mattresses for something that they could inject into your body after we just finished establishing the fact that they hate our guts, yeah, and they're willing to let us die, and they're willing to open the borders for people who are unvetted and who don't have to do the things we do. I mean, how much evidence do you need that these people are not our friends? So you think they're going to hate our guts and then inject us with something that is perfectly benign?
And again, we've seen they don't care about collateral damage too. It's like, hey, if we kill a bunch of other people, I mean, again, it's outrageous. And the fact that the hospital would say that, knowing what we know, people have been trying to lock us down. Oh, we got dogs. Lock us down and destroy our economy and destroy our health are the very same people who probably were involved. Wait, Chuck, you're knocking the table over. We're probably involved in the making of this thing in the first place. Right?
They were. So, and that's also the insult to injury. I also just want to say, sometimes I feel like I'm a raving lunatic talking this way. And I wish somebody would tell me, of course, I don't want the wrong people to tell me, you know what? You're crazy, right?
Right.
No, you just need to take a chill, because none of this is happening. None of this is real. And I can't tell you the number of times I wished I woke up in the morning and all of this was just a bad dream and we could return to an America that we recognize. Mm. But sadly, all of us keep getting validated that these people mean business. They are card-carrying communists, fascists, Maoists, and they've been planning this for many decades, and we've been asleep at the switch.
Well, and we're lucky we're not Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, what they do to those?
We're getting there, Chuck. That's just where we're going. If you want to see what America will look like in no time flat, you're talking about a police state.
When they start arresting all the F Joe Biden people, that'll be, hey, listen, Karen, we got to go to Ron Hanks. Where can, KarenCataline.com. You fill all the time across the country for nationally syndicated hosts. You have your own show spotting off. Anything in particular you're working on you want to tell people about?
I have a new piece called Forced to Pretend. And so please subscribe to my newsletter before MailChimp cuts me off.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of radio, and you can find more about me than you ever want to know at KarenCataline.com.
All right, Karen. Great to see you.
Good to see you. Nice talking to you.
Before we go to Ron, I do want to just note the interesting one there. Peter went after Christy Burton Brown.
Peter Boyles,
based on a Jason Saltzman hit piece. He purports to hate Jason Saltzman.
Well, Jason Saltzman is a very progressive guy hired by Soros, paid by Soros money to attack Republicans. That's his job.
And then Roberts, who writes for Westward Today, did another hit piece on Christy Burton Brown. How do you like your new friends, Christy?
Well,
how do you like all your new friends?
Well, and here's the thing, though. And we're going to be talking, just so you guys know, this is going to be a great interview on Monday with Andrea Hall, who is Joe Altman's attorney. All of these hit pieces are coming. It's in the wake of a defamation lawsuit filed by a guy named Eric Coomer with Dominion, who says that Joe Altman defamed him by saying he was an Antifa person and a pro-Antifa person. And depositions are going on right now. Apparently, Eric Coomer was deposed just the other day in this defamation lawsuit. And it was so horrible that the judge, who herself marched in a Black Lives Matter Antifa march, right, has suppressed and is refusing to release the deposition. It is not looking good for him. Apparently, he had a disastrous day in court.
But nothing's too bad.
Well, and all of a sudden, the hit pieces come. So as I always say, you know you're over the target when they start shooting at you. So we're going to be talking to Andrea Hall, explain all of this on Monday, because as always, shockingly, there is a lot more going on here. Initially, than I had even thought. I was doing some reading. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
And then you're like, wait a minute. And then you're like, wait a minute. And then I call her, Andrea, can you come on? And she says, you betcha.
All right. But that's on for the next show Monday. But right now, we've got an exciting announcement that has just recently occurred in the last day. And this is one of his first interviews. Ron Hanks, a representative from, I think, District 30 down in Fremont County, has decided to throw his hat into the ring to challenge Michael Bennett and go for the Republican primary. Ron is a great guy, an amazing patriot. And because of that, I have never seen a finer rollout of positive press in my life. We've got Denver Post, GOP state rep, a 2020 election denier
to challenge
U.S. Michael Bennett. I go, oh, okay, there you go. That's nice. Controversial Republican state rep Ron Hanks. Hanks, who lives in Fremont County, has peddled baseless claims about his 2020 presidential election fraud. And then we have one also from Colorado Politics. And they call you a firebrand, but then go on to trash it. So you know you got to be one of the better candidates in a long time. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Chuck. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we sure can.
Okay. Yeah, they've assembled some rather ridiculous claims against me, and they keep recycling them, and I expect to see them for the next several months. But I appreciate a chance to get on with you and Julie. And, you know, people, once I think they meet me or talk with me, realize I'm not quite the caricature that the lying media and the yellow journalists put together.
Well, I mean, they've made it. It's a cult, just like the COVID, right? You're not allowed. I mean, you got banned from YouTube for questioning, you know, I mean.
Not questioning, from citing the governor's policy on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. But if they don't like you, then they make up these terms, election denier. It's like a climate denier. I mean,
that comes from Holocaust denier.
Well, I mean, that's, it's just ridiculous.
So, well, but the great part about it, and I'm not sure everybody recognizes this, maybe more and more people do, but the Colorado Sun, Colorado Politics, and Denver Post are all the same people. They're all Denver Post. I mean, in the Sun and the Colorado Politics, those are just former Denver Post reporters. And most of them, 90% of them, there's a few that aren't, but then they come from, you know, the left, or at least Colorado Gazette, which is no different. So you're just reading the same story, because you don't get any different outlook from any of them. They just all repeat the same left of center, far left, claptrap with it. You know, you're not quite enough of a squish to get the semi-awful treatment that Heidi Kunal got. You get the full awful treatment.
The full awful treatment.
Well, you know, and the Capitol is kind of unique as well. I mean, there are occasionally multiple reporters that come in. They're all chosen by themselves. Kind of sounds like the state auditing our own elections itself. But along the same lines, they have a Capitol press pool that doesn't have any conservatives in it. And a lot of times there's only one or two kind of decrepit reporters in there that are becoming more and more addled and biased. And then what you'll notice is everybody else just parrots and grabs it, captures it. And I mean, once one decrepit reporter spreads it, the others use it. it's pretty disingenuous, you know, and we've got our work cut out for us. But thank God there's other sources and methods to get the message out. And this is a remarkable year for that, because people, far from denying that we had problems in 2020, people are starting to come to realize it by growing numbers. And so the evidence is compounding daily. And I think people are recognizing every day they're being lied to by the yellow media.
Let me, because I want to give you a chance to tell people a little bit about yourself and what you're running on. But I think, though, if we thought the headlines were bad before, you've got a great campaign ad that's up that I've been saying is progressives, their heads are just exploding over this. But I think it's like, hey, you lay it out. There's no mealy mouth. You know, you're like, you know, you're not for puppies and unicorns or any, you know, I mean, you're like, here's what I stand
for. Well, Chrissy Burton Brown tried to be puppies and unicorn, and now they're destroying her. I mean, but she kind of, you know.
But let me for the record, I do like puppies. I don't, you know, so just want to get that out there.
Okay.
Unicorns, not so much.
Haven't seen one yet, but go ahead.
Let me, Thomas, if we could play the Ron Hanks video, please. This is his new ad.
I'm Ron Hanks. I'm here today to talk about two important issues: election integrity and the Second Amendment. I spent 32 years in uniform, including Desert Storm and the Global War on Terror. I served as an intelligence officer in Iraq, worked as a counter-drug officer in Kazakhstan, fighting the drug trade that funded the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. I've worked as a counterintelligence agent and as a linguist. I am a pro-Trump warrior and a conservative state legislator who's fought for election integrity, defended the unborn, protected our Second Amendment rights, and I've battled the liberals on taxes and mandates. Now, I'm running for United States Senate because Michael Bennett and our government no longer serve the people. It is an entity built for control over the masses by the power elite. Joe Biden should be removed from office for his disgraceful surrender of Afghanistan. He left Americans, allies, and working dogs in country. His regime has disarmed Americans at home while simultaneously arming terrorists by leaving military-grade weapons and supplies in Afghanistan. Our border is a mess, Biden's edicts are unconstitutional, and the liberals in Congress want to raise our taxes and tell us how to live. As Americans come to realize Biden's incompetence, a growing majority believe he was not fairly elected. Evidence of fraud in multiple states support their conclusion. I know because I attended recounts and audits in multiple states. As our next senator, I will fight for our conservative values, and I'll start by targeting our broken election system. I'm Ron Hanks, and I'm running for the United States Senate. I'm Ron Hanks, and I approve this message.
All right. is that a Macmillan 50 caliber?
No, actually, it is a Ruger precision rifle in 300 PRC. It's a sweet little gun. I can hit from a mile, Chuck. Yeah, it's a sweet weapon. Most of it is the equipment that makes it easy. I'll take credit for about 40% of the skill and requirement, but that's a nice gun.
What about, well, tell folks a little bit, because I said I wanted to give you an opportunity to do this, a little bit about yourself. And then the other question I would have for you is, knowing how much fun you've had already dealing with the attempts, what on earth would prompt you to say, I think I want some more of that?
Well, I have learned this isn't a lot of fun. I didn't expect it to be fun. It has exceeded my expectations, to be honest with you. But I put in 32 years in the service. I joined right out of high school, and I can't just sit here and watch what's happening. And if you go to my website, which is hanksforcolorado.com, we've put up some articles that I wrote before the election, and they were concerned and addressing election fraud. And you know, I've been writing a lot of stuff. It's kind of interesting to go back and look and realize it was a little bit prescient. I just cannot let this stand. We have to fix 2020 in order to have an honest election in 2022. And I think everything else is secondary. So we have problems with in the national security sense of the word, too, with our border. Our energy policy is making us dependent on overseas producers. It wasn't like that when Trump was in just a mere 10 months ago. So we have national security and election issues that I just cannot sit by and watch things collapse and burn.
All right. Well, and you're going to take some heat, too, as I'm sure you know, from the establishment Republicans as well, not just the Democrats. It's going to be, I think, Eli Bremer.
No, it's going to be primarily established. Well, they're the same thing. There's no difference between the establishment Republicans in the state and the Democrats, just like the Colorado politics, which is run by Phil Anschutz, is no different than the Denver Post run by a hedge fund in New York. I mean, there's no difference between them. They agree on most issues. I don't know if you saw the most recent one from Eli Bremer, but he won't win any of the touchy-feelies himself when he's being attacked for saying he's glad he wasn't brought up a D.C. sissy and said he's a real man kind of thing. But his... It's going to be a great one. And you're the only one in the race that I know of anyway, that actually has real conservative bona fides. There's a developer one of the counties they just brought in, and a few others. And as I've indicated previous times, I'm not taking a position on the primary because I'm not allowed to, but I think you're going to make that a really interesting primary.
Well, and here's the thing. This is from Charlene. Little Republican donors are going to have to stand up for this guy, you, Ron. She's saying 1 million Republican donors giving what they can. They've already put your website up there. So on our comment section here on the Zoom. So you got our listeners.
That was Peg. Peg to everyone. She put up the website. Thanks, Peg.
Thank you, Peg. And I'm sure, you'll take questions. If people are listening and they want to call in, 888-627-6008.
Or turn on, just turn on your screen.
Turn on your microphone, or you can put the question in the chat thing, 888-627-6008. One of the things I think that would be, and Michael Bennett should be, you would think, again, except for the election issues, the integrity issues, would be, he hasn't done anything. He's been there. He's a nice guy, I think, or used to be, but he hasn't done anything. And what I see today, John Hickenlooper, for everything going on, was backing making something a state park. It's like, we've got we talked earlier, the Justice Department going around. Now they're going to be investigating parents for questioning their school boards. I mean, there is so much insanity going on. And Michael Bennett, tweets, I love puppies and unicorns. I mean, to me, it's useless. And we need somebody in there who's going to fight for us.
Well, and I see it the same way, Julie. I mean, we have some obvious priorities now, and we need to be addressing them. We're looking at 180 to 200,000 people crossing the border every month, and now we're getting a warning that it's going to surge to new unprecedented levels. Well, that's a huge problem. It's not just a problem for where are we going to put these people, the strain on the economy, which, by the way, the government at the federal and state level has imploded with their COVID mandates and restrictions. We just have a lot of things happening that we can't ignore anymore. And frankly, election integrity, I think, pretty much will prove that many of these people that were elected, we're probably getting some help from fraudulent methods. And wouldn't it be nice to clean the slate and play a fair game of politics? Maybe that's the unicorn scenario.
Well, that's why they hammer so hard on anybody who questions anything about the election, right? It's like you can't have any questions. And there are so many questions, right? And you can maybe... how do I say it? Debate the impacts or this or that, but for these guys to just say flat out, no questions allowed. It's ridiculous. I wanted to ask you this sort of on a national policy thing. You were in the military today. It came out, CNN even was reporting that in Afghanistan, the suicide bomber who killed the 13 Americans and all kinds of people in Afghanistan there at the airport was released from the Bagram prison after Biden abandoned it. So, I would think arguably
followed by Biden doing a drone strike on a U.S. aid helper worker distributing water and his seven kids. I mean, it's just the level of idiocy is hard to quite fathom.
Well, Joe Biden was kind of the object of ridicule in his own party. They would laugh at how he got every major foreign policy issue wrong. And of course, Obama made a comment that I can't repeat on family radio, that he said, never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up. You know, it's hard to believe this guy got more votes than any other candidate in history. I mean, he's been an idiot for a very long time. And I think anybody who's been paying attention realizes, boy, this was rigged.
So on your process, I assume you'll be going through the assembly process and not petitioning on?
Yes, I'll go through the assembly. That seems more open and oriented to the people. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk at the assembly with folks and present my case.
Well, I think that's going to be interesting. I know that Eli Bremer, from a call I got from one of his staffers, was certainly wanted to avoid the petition process, and that costs about $250,000 to get on if you're lucky. And even then, as the gubernatorial candidate found out, Walker Stapleton, it can go awry. But he may be reconsidering it now that you've gotten into the race.
Well, I do have instant traction. I will say that. I mean, and I would say credibility as well from the voting record. And that's the one thing I can lay out on the table, and I'm willing to do that. Anybody can look it up. I was among the top seven Republicans, conservatives, right, in the House or Senate that scored 80 above or above. And, conservative Republicanism is kind of becoming a rarer and rarer breed. And I think we're going to have to remind people, if we do not draw the line and hold principles, our party just blends in with the other one.
Well, you know, the word conservative has become meaningless. I mean, Peter's producer, Billy, calling himself a conservative. And so, you know, it's become meaningless. But if you say you're a Trump supporter and a MAGNA supporter, you know, that at least that gets you halfway toward, you know, being somebody people can trust. Not all, because a lot of people will claim they're that and they aren't that at all. They just, you know, but it's your record, and the Liberty scorecard has been fantastic. Anybody who's worked on the opt-out campaign know that you were a tireless worker and one of the real heroes.
And Charlene is mentioning that did you talk a little bit about this? You went to Arizona to check out the audit. A little bit about what you saw and what you learned.
I did. I actually went there twice, Julie. I did a no confidence vote on the House Minority Leader at the end of the session. At that event, I advised the caucus that I would be heading to Arizona in the morning, and I had seats available for them if they wanted, anybody wanted to go with me.
Okay. Were you able to fit all of them in the car?
No, I had a lot of room, and I could sing aloud without anybody complaining. I rode solo down there. I met up with some smart folks that were non-elected folks, but Sean Smith being one of them. I'm sure you know him from his efforts. And I got back briefed on what was going on, what they had seen in the day or two that they got there ahead of me. And then I went through and was very impressed with the security of it. I do have a background in physical security and then also securing classified material. And I was very impressed with what they did. I went back a second time, Julie. And this time, now that the audit's completed, we're free to talk about this. But I brought down and gathered up with the help of some really great folks in the state. We got about 10 folks from Colorado, a couple from Nevada. And they did some work for the audit. Now, they weren't in the sections where they were handling the counting of the ballots. Right. That had to, by law, be Arizona residents. But it was an opportunity for us to kind of get people oriented. So if we can get an audit here, and we are working on that, these folks are going to be the expertise that we can draw on, because they were down there in a very, very impressive audit system.
Right. Well, and this is from Dr. Donna. She says, has anyone done a poll as to the numbers of those upset by the last year and the direction things went? It seems like, I still hear a lot of conservatives speaking out against folks who don't believe the last year was for our benefit. And I think what she's sort of saying there, I don't know if there's a poll or anything like that, but I think that it's pretty clear to a lot of people that this past year, between, there are questions about the election. There are certainly questions about Joe Biden's performance, his decisions, and the polls seem to indicate that he's going down, down, down. How do you think that speaks to your chances against Michael Bennett then?
I'll be candid, Julie. I don't pay attention to a lot of polls, and I don't put a lot of stock in them, because I do not think they do a very good sampling. I do not think conservatives answer polls very often. And nothing here that I'm doing is based off of polling and calculating. This is just, for me, this is an extension of military service. I see a national security threat at the election level. I see it at the border with energy, with production being in China. I mean, the list just goes on and on forever. It's not about polls. I do this because I believe in the positions I hold and the threats that I see. I did a lot of analytical work as an intel officer, and this is not sustainable. And in fact, this is disastrous. This is like a Katrina type event that's across the nation here.
Well, if Lauren Boebert, early in her efforts, had gone by polls and what her odds were on the polls and everything else, she never would have ran.
Right.
Really, she did it by what she believed was right and what she had faith in. And that'll get you often a lot farther than endlessly tracking polls.
Right.
Hey, much as I love polls.
And here, and so this is from Charlene. They think they love you, that you're a dream candidate. You tell the truth, you speak the truth. Ron, we got to go now, but because I'm assuming you need help. Where can people get more on you and help?
Yeah, I funded the last campaign pretty much on my own. There were some contributors, but I stopped contributions during COVID. I can't do that this time. So it is hanksforcolorado.com. I'm grateful for the time. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk with you and everybody on the podcast. So thank you very much.
All right, Ron. Thank you for coming on.
Appreciate it.
You'd be wonderful.
We'll see you again. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we've had a couple candidates now on. Julie Hankston we have on before. And we're happy to have anybody on.
Right. Anybody out there listening, give us a holler.
And I think Ron served himself well.
I love his ad. Love his ad.
I worked with him in the opt-out campaign, and he was a wonderful person to work with and a true conservative and all those good things. And hopefully we have other good candidates.
All right. That was Chuck's disclaimer. That will do it for us. We will see you all. Thank you to Ron. Thank you to Karen. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, everybody listening, the great guys at BBS.
Off to the parent-teacher conference.
Right. And we'll see you on Party Friday.
Take care.